This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may live upon the earth. Great to be with you, ladies and gentlemen. There's still a tremendous amount of fallout from the very recent program that I did on MSNBC, and if you take a look at Google News search, David Duke and Harvard and Walt and MSNBC and the rest of it, and you will find all kinds of articles going all over the world because of my spirited defense of the Harvard paper recently that showed how American interests were being subverted. Basic American interests are being subverted by the Jewish lobby that has so much power in America economically, politically, socially, culturally. And in terms of government, it's just absolutely incredible the level of power they have. And a recent event at Harvard proves the level of power that they hold now in this country. Let me give you a little recap of what the program was about. And I'm not going to go into all the details of the program, but I will talk to you a little bit about the setup of the show and this type of thing. The program with a man named Joe Scarborough on a program called Scarborough Country on MSNBC Primetime had focused on allegations of a Jewish neocon subversion of American foreign policy on behalf of Israel. It was sparked by a new academic report called The Israeli Lobby in U.S. Foreign Policy, which was co-authored by a dean at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. Now, this report was issued by the dean of the premier school of government and the most respected university in the United States of America. And it validated everything that I've been writing in the David Duke Report and on my website, davidduke.com, since before the Iraq War began. Immediately after my segment on the program, Scarborough interviewed Jewish extremist professor Alan Dershowitz, a radical pro-Israel extremist and pro-Israel partisan. I was in the program by way of a satellite hookup from New Orleans, and as usual, they gave me very little time to express our viewpoint. Yet even though Scarborough talked over and through me and cut me off repeatedly, and even though he reverentially interviewed Dershowitz right after he interviewed me and gave Dershowitz more time than he gave me and of course treated him very well. Still, apparently, many millions of Americans heard my message, and I've been flooded with emails, letters, and phone calls from Americans of all walks of life who supported me and what I said, and even from overseas who are reading the accounts of the program and have seen the show by download over the internet, because apparently people are going to the MSNBC website, they're downloading the program and watching it, and it's just getting tremendous response all over the world. Now, Scarborough gave this Jewish extremist, Alan Dershowitz, and by the way, he is an extremist. He is a Jewish supremacist par excellence. He gave him the utmost respect and gave him free rein to spout his hate, and that's the only way you can put it, hatred, against people that disagree with him or Israel. Now, I wasn't allowed to debate or question Dershowitz, and yet, while I still sat in the satellite studio hooked up to the mic and the earphone, both men were saying to the world how they were so anxious to debate the issues, but no one would debate because our side knew we were wrong. They smugly said we had no evidence that Israel lobby was a key factor in the launching of the Iraq war, and that no one, and that's why nobody would debate them, because we have no evidence. all these lies while I sat there so anxious to debate. You know, as typically true in the Jewish-dominated American media, the program turned to an extremist Jew to tell the American people what the controversy's all about. They left it to a Jewish radical to interpret the events for the average American. Dershowitz is, by the way, a human rights lawyer, as I said earlier, who's come out for introducing torture to the legal system of the United States of America. And this is the same media that treats him with respect that calls me an extremist. The program, there's a lot of things that were said in the program. Of course, Dershowitz said specifically that, you know, it was all a lie and we shouldn't, you know, listen to anything that was said by this Harvard professor. But all he could do was name call. I mean, he accused the professor and the people who believe this to be bigots, Nazis, plagiarists, anti-Semites, anything else that this hateful Jewish radical could come up with. Man, he leveled it out there. In fact, I've been reading Jewish publications around the world, and they keep talking about how they say, and I'll quote them, they say this is like a new protocol design. It's simply a report that shows that Israel has an inordinate amount of power in the American political process, in the media, and other aspects of American life, and that they've influenced our policy, just as it was certainly Jewish. It was Jewish extremists who influenced and created the Iraq War. It was a war for Israel, not for America. It was a war for Israel's interest. Dershowitz, I'm not going to comment on the whole show here because you can go see the show for yourself and you can read my extensive commentary on daviddukes.com. But Dershowitz said during the program, he also contested the fact that the report mentioned the fact that Israel was based on a blood kinship and that you know, just stating that fact. Of course, it is. The law of return in Israel, you've got to be of Jewish blood. You can be an atheist Jew. You can be from New York. You can be from Russia. You can be from Antarctica, for that matter. And you're entitled to go to Israel. They'll give you money to set up your homestead. You know, they'll support you in doing it. But a Palestinian who was born there can't even return. I mean, it's based primarily on blood. It's based on demographics. There are many Jews in Israel who are not religious. And they have a situation in Israel where they're absolutely endeavoring to make sure that the citizens of Israel are overwhelmingly demographically that they're Jews, of Jewish blood, of Jewish descent, of Jewish genetics, whatever you want to say. That's how they measure it. Again, you don't have to be a religious Jew to immigrate to Israel. All you've got to do is show you're of Jewish descent. That's it. And, of course, Israel has laws which absolutely do not allow the legal marriage between a Jew and a non-Jew, and in fact have laws where the Kohanim, which is like the Jewish elite priest class, the traditional priest class of the Jewish religion and the Jewish people, that this class can't even marry a Jew, a full-fledged practicing person of the Jewish religion, who has a drop of Gentile blood. Now these are the elite. These are the spiritual elite of Israel, ladies and gentlemen, and they cannot even marry a Jew, another Jew who has a drop of blood, no matter how far back in the ancestry. And the government of Israel will not recognize that marriage. Now, Dershowitz says in the broadcast, of course, you know, obviously, Joe Scarborough wasn't going to challenge him, and they wouldn't let me debate or challenge him. But this is exactly what Dershowitz said during the broadcast. He said, quote, "These ignoramuses who published this piece confuse Israel's law of return, which is an immigration policy, with Israel's law of citizenship, which is totally not based on religion, race, or nationality. It's based on obviously the same criteria that America bases its citizenship on." He just finished saying that basically, Israel is not trying to keep a mostly Jewish state. It's not basing its citizenship, you know, in terms of the percentages of the country on Jewish heritage, and that it's got the same criteria for citizenship that America bases its citizenship on. I mean, how can Dershowitz get away with such blatant lies? You know, Israel has its citizenship is based on the same criteria that America bases its citizenship. I guess it's easy when the media dares not to challenge you. Israel, of course, bases its entire immigration program on maintaining Jewish demographic supremacy in Israel. Israel seeks Jews by blood heritage all over the world and promotes their immigration to Israel to maintain an overwhelming Jewish citizenship in a Jewish supremacist state. That's the facts. That's the facts, ma'am, and only the facts. Now, recently, there's an article in Haaretz newspaper, an Israeli magazine newspaper, March 24, which goes on to really prove everything that we talk about in terms of Jewish power, because it applies right to the paper that was issued at Harvard itself and the person who donated to the chair of that paper. There has been Harvard University has decided to remove its logo from a study that denounces the pro-Israel lobby's impact on American foreign policy in order to distance itself from the study's conclusions. Now, why did this happen? Well, let's find out why it happened. That's the beginning paragraph of the Haaretz article. And this is a very interesting article. I'm almost inclined to read the whole thing to you, but he said the study also, this last part is very interesting, and they're talking about their propaganda, you know, how they suppress these things without exposing the Jewish control. The study also accused the pro-Israel lobby of monitoring academics to ensure that they do not diverge from the pro-Israel line. They will undoubtedly see proof of this contention, in Harvard's decision to distance itself from the study due to pressure applied by pro-Israel donors. According to New York Sun, Robert Belfer, who gave the Kennedy School $7.5 million in 1997 in order to do, among other things, to endow the chair that Walt now occupies, called the university and asked that Walt be forbidden to use his title in publicity for the study. I'm going to go on here. It's just amazing. It's just amazing because this paper, this article doesn't mention it. The article doesn't mention it. I've read many articles about Belfer, you know, promoting the chair at Harvard. Robert Belfer is the same Robert Belfer, the same director at Enron Corporation, as you know, that stole upwards of billions of dollars from the American people. And he is one of the people in Enron, in fact, has sold his stock early and is in the middle of this incredible scandal, this corrupt scandal. He's also one of the major figures in the American Jewish Committee, which is the largest Jewish organization in the United States, a very powerful organization, and he's very active in the Jewish lobby and supporting it financially and in other ways. He's a very active supporter, radical extremist Jewish supporter of Israel. Now, he in turn, even though he gave money to Harvard because he doesn't like what this professor said, now is basically threatening them that he's not going to get any more money. He's going to denounce them. And you know, Harvard gave in. Now, what does this say to the other professors around the country? Well, I agree with the idea that the Jewish lobby influenced the Iraq war, Israeli war for Israel, as Richard Perle, the main architect of the war, as admitted by the mass media, you know, wrote a paper for Benjamin Netanyahu of the Israeli government promoting this war years ago. And as soon as 9/11 took place, Wolfowitz and Perle went to the president and said, let's bomb Iraq, even though Iraq had nothing to do with the war. They weren't concerned about America, ladies and gentlemen. They were concerned only about Israel and Israel's strategic objectives in the Middle East. And they were willing to have American boys die and bleed and be maimed and suffer and for America to spend billions of dollars and ruin our image all over the world and suffer more terrorism on account of this war, increase terrorism against us, because they know that this kind of thing benefits Israel. It also gets the heat of terrorism off of Israel. This is a fact, ladies and gentlemen. It's absolutely clear to anyone who wants to look into this issue. And now, basically, they're extorting Harvard, and they got Harvard to take away their logo. It's almost never done in a paper like this. He is a dean. The purpose of this paper was to present the School of Government section of which Dr. John Walt is a dean, is to bring forth papers and bring forth ideas to the American people, to the world, you know, that are important to our public discourse. And they bring out many controversial ideas on many different things, but nobody ever asked them to remove their Harvard logo for them until, you know, you have this massive corrupt individual from Enron who gave money to the chair. Of course, that's how they control American politics, and gives money to all these Jewish organizations and then threatens Harvard by his money. Well, how many politicians do you think are threatened by this Jewish extremist money? I can tell you, most of them. AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, is the most powerful lobby on Capitol Hill, and there's many other lobbies besides AIPAC. I mean, the Jewish leadership, Jewish organizations, when they need to muster money for one of their supporters politically around the country, they can muster hundreds of millions of dollars if they have to. And if they have somebody they don't like, they have a long record of putting forth tremendous money to defeat people like Charles Percy of Illinois. I can show you, you know, a Wall Street Journal article that talks about how Charles Percy was targeted and defeated by this tremendous amount of money that the Jewish organizations and Jews did. And because Charles Percy was trying to have a more pro-American policy in the Middle East rather than have our policy controlled by a foreign nation. You see, I'm no liberal. I'm no liberal. I don't have a liberal background. I don't think I have a liberal bone in my body. I guess people are accusing me of liberal now because I understood why Cindy Sheehan was upset that her son died in this war for a lie. And she did actually in one email to a friend of mine say specifically that her son died for Israel, not for America. We were being lied to. And I have opposed America doing torture around the world. I'm greatly opposed to what happened to Abu Ghraib. I'm greatly opposed to the Americans using the same torture chambers that the Soviets used right now in Eastern Europe to torture people without trial. You know, I am concerned about the loss of American liberties of the Patriot Act. I am concerned about us getting involved in these foreign affairs. People can call that liberal. I am an anti-globalist. I'm pro-American. I think I'm downright traditional pro-American. That's why I'm against this war. I'm not, you know, I think Americans, if we have to die or fight for any conflict or risk ourselves that, you know, to save and truly save our country and save our freedoms, fine. The truth is, the real threat to America is not in Iraq. It's along the Mexican-American border, ladies and gentlemen. But here you go. I mean, the very people who put out this paper, prestigious. I mean, Dr. Wald is one of the most prestigious academics in the entire country. The Kennedy School of Government is the most prestigious school of government in the entire United States of America and at the most prestigious university in the United States of America. But they dare to talk about something everybody really knows about, the proverbial gorilla in the room. Everybody really knows about in the end, in government, media, and the rest of it. And they're called bigots and haters. Their paper is called The New Protocols of Zion. Well, that's what they called my book, Jewish Supremacism. I hope everyone reading this who has not read it yet will read my book, Jewish Supremacism. And you'll get some real background into what's going on. And you'll understand how they operate. And the American people... Again, I was invited on the program. I've been an elected representative of Louisiana. I've been a Republican official. You know, I've spoken around the world, and I am today a teacher, and I am today a doctor of history. You know, I have some authority. I should be treated decently. And the American people have a right to hear different points of view, not to be talked over. And Dershowitz said, okay, nobody would debate him, and the man said in the program nobody would debate him. I was ready to debate them, but they wouldn't dare let Dershowitz debate me on national television because they knew, and they know, that I would defeat him because the facts and the truth are not on his side. He is the side that represents the real hatred and suppression and bigotry that's going on right now in the world. And Israel is a racial supremacist state. Israel is a nation that murders people. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm criticized for my background, my youthful background. You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, Robert Byrd, who became liberal, he Ku Klux Klan is not part of his name. Bobby Rush, who was Black Panther, Ku Klux Klan is not part of his name. That's been 30 years ago, and all they do is say former Ku Klux Klansman. Why? It's not because I was once in that organization. These other men, many people have been in controversial organizations. Nelson Mandela was in a Marxist terrorist organization at one time. That's admitted today. There's no argument about that. It's not talked about much. You know, that was 30 years ago in my life, and I was never accused of hurting a single soul, and nobody in my group was accused of doing that. That's a fact. That's a fact. And it's just absolutely, but I was politically incorrect. I thought the wrong thoughts. And so now, you know, they try to make sure that they try to program everything I say and tilt an audience against me. But you know what? The truth's coming out. And the people saw me in that program, straightforward, upfront, clear, thinking and clear-minded and clear-spoken, and they saw this ugly countenance of Dershowitz, ugly speech, ugly thoughts, hateful thoughts. And one of my friends said very clearly the other day, he said, you know, this is a paradigm shift going on since this show, because what's happened is, this is the first time I've ever seen it. Usually you go on there, you have to defend yourself from all the things they say about you. This time, you were on the offensive, and the Jewish supremacists and the real hate mongers, the real supremacists, they were on the defensive. Dershowitz was on the defensive. Think about it. Scarborough was on the defensive. There is a paradigm shift going on right now in this country. It's dealing with me, and the people are starting to realize the truth. And I guarantee you, my political popularity is growing. My issues are becoming more and more commonly spoken. I got so many emails from important people and diplomats and other people whose names I would never reveal, because they see what's going on. They see the truth about what I'm talking about, and it's becoming so obvious. They prove themselves, you know, every day. You know, one thing that the Haaretz article said in one of the last paragraphs, and they're really kind of worried because people are beginning to see this, you know, and they said the semi-retraction comes after much outrage from the Jewish press, the forward. Lots of Jews will doubtless be happy at Harvard's capitulation. And this one Jew writing this says they shouldn't be. It merely confirms the myth of Jewish power in the minds of Judeophobes. As our movie critic Shlomo Zvensk in his review of the Execrable Passion of Christ, you know, he says, you know, so, I mean, they're concerned. But, you know, there's no myth of Jewish power, ladies and gentlemen. Jewish power exists. It provides most of the contributions for the major parties. And that's been revealed by many publications. It absolutely, their power in media is enormous. Their power in academia is enormous. Just the reaction to what happened here at this chair at Harvard is proof exactly of what we're talking about. There's no myth to it. There's no myth to it. And it's kind of, you know, he said, this one Jew writes, nothing could be worse for this already bad situation than Harvard's disavowal of the study. It's not only entrenched anti-Semitic paranoia, but perhaps even worse, also entrenched Jewish pronoia. The illusion that the Goy power structure will protect real Jewish interests when push comes to shove. The more deeply these twin illusions are entrenched, the uglier the backlash will be when it comes, and it's coming. The Harvard study was the first sign. Ladies and gentlemen, it is coming. Truth is coming. You can crush truth to the earth, but sooner or later it rises, and it's rising. We have found a way to spread the truth with the internet. We found a way to spread the truth with courageous men like Dr. Walt. And we are going to continue to work to get the truth out. Now, I want you to notice that last sentence, which shows you exactly, too, what I'm talking about in terms of this Jewish supremacism. They said, not only will it entrench anti-Semitic paranoia, but it will entrench Jewish pronoia. The illusion that the Goy power structure will protect real Jewish interests when push comes to shoves. By the way, Goy is a very negative terminology used for non-Jew. Goy has always been very, very negative. It's almost like the N-word when it comes to black people. That's the way it is. But he's saying there, the fact that Harvard has disavowed this is a real danger. Because now Jews will think that the Goy power structure will protect Jewish interests when push comes to shove. In other words, you can't trust the Gentiles. You have to make sure you have this power because Gentiles are not trustable. They're not people you can depend on. They will people who will kill you. You see this theme throughout so much of Jewish literature. They blame all nations for the so-called Holocaust. We hear about it every day. Why do we hear about it every day? Think about that politically. But they blame every Christian nation, even blame the United States that we didn't go in there and start the war earlier or whatever. They blame everybody. They view us all as guilty. And this is the kind of enmity that means that that makes them work specifically with their money, with their influence, and with their power to promote their agenda over our agenda. And you know, America is supposed to be set up for the agenda of the majority of the American people. The American people, the people of this country, not the people of Israel, not the people of any other country on this earth. This government, every government, is supposed to be independent. Every government, that's how our country was founded, on the basis of the Declaration of Independence, that we are independent and that we have a government representing us, not them. But we've had a government that's been perverted and taken away. from the values of our people. And I believe that this paper and the reaction to it and my appearances right now and the coverage this is getting is doing a lot. So many people coming to my site right now and reading The Preference of Jewish Supremacism, ordering our book, and I tell you, when they read Jewish Supremacism, the scales will come off of the eyes. People will see what's been right before them all their lives, but they've never seen before. It, as I say in my book, this book will connect the dots for them, and they'll begin to understand the processes that go on in the world dealing with this issue. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's good to be with you. This is a very passionate show. I feel very passionate. I'm back in Eastern Europe. I've got a good case of jet lag, but I tell you one thing, I'm not short of energy in terms of talking about this issue. I'm going to get this program up, and it'll be archived very quickly. Be sure to spread it to your friends and family. Take these articles, get them out. I'm going to put up a new article in a few hours on the probably about 8 hours after I get some sleep on the basic extortion racket. People like Belfer, this Enron manipulator, how he, this member of the American Jewish Committee, supporter of the American Jewish Committee, this endower also of Yeshiva University, how he is using his influence and power to suppress academic freedom in the United States of America. And this is exactly the nature of the paper, and it's exactly what I have been saying on DavidDuke.com for so long. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Use your fingers on your keyboard. Get this message out. Tell your friends. Email. Send them the documentation that I have on my website of the transcript, and also take a look at the program yourself, and take a look also and study what Dershowitz says and the lies he comes up with, because most of you listening to this now know enough that you will understand and clearly see Dershowitz's lies as he speaks them. Thanks a lot, and I'll see you again tomorrow. This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.davidduke.com.